purposes of the tape, my name is David Rhodes, and this is the last in a series on the Gospel of Mark, and what you will hear is the ending of Mark, Jesus' time in Jerusalem, the death, and the events around the grave. I begin with Jesus speaking with his disciples. You know that those who rule the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exert authority over them. But it is not to be like this among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you is to be your servant. Whoever wants to be most important is to be everyone's slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. They came to Jericho, and as he was coming out from Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the way, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he screamed out, saying, "Son of David, Jesus, pity me!" Many were rebuking him to be quiet, but he was screaming all the louder, "Son of David, pity me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Summon him." And they summoned the blind man, saying to him, "Rise, take courage, he's calling you." And he jumped up, threw off his cloak, and came to Jesus.
Jesus asked him,
"What do you want me to do for you?"
He said, "My rabbi, see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go on off. Your faith has restored you." And immediately he saw again. And he began following Jesus on the way.
Now they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage in Bethany at the Mountain of the Olives. And Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Enter into the village opposite you. Immediately you'll see a donkey colt tied up on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. Well, if anyone says to you, 'What are you doing?' you tell them, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went off, entered into the village, found a donkey colt tied up on which no one had ever sat, outside at the door on the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing by said to them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they told them, just as Jesus had said, and they let them bring it. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And others spread their cloaks onto the way, and others spread leafy branches cut from the fields. And those who were going ahead and those who were following were screaming, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one coming in the Lord's name! Blessed is the coming rule of our father David! Hosanna in the highest places!" And he entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. Looking around at everything, the hour being already quite late, he went out to Bethany with 12. Early in the morning, as he was coming out from Bethany, he was hungry. And he saw from a distance a fig tree in leaf and went to see if perhaps he might find some fruit on it. But when he got to it, he found nothing except leaves, for it wasn't the right season for figs. And he spoke up and said, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard. And he entered back into Jerusalem, into the temple. And he began driving out those who were buying and those who were selling in the temple. And he upended the tables of those who were changing money and the chairs of those who were selling doves. And he would not let anyone carry anything across the temple. And he began teaching, "Isn't it written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the Gentile nations'? But you have made it a lair for bandits." The high priest heard and began seeking how they might destroy him. For they were afraid of him. For the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching.
So when evening came, they went outside the city.
Early morning, as they were passing by, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Rock remembered and said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God, and I swear to you that whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt, but has faith in his mind that what he says will happen, it will be so for him. So I'm telling you, whatever you ask for and pray for, have faith that you have gotten it, and it will be so for you. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, pardon it, so that your heavenly Father might also pardon you your offenses." He entered back into Jerusalem. And while he was walking in the temple, the high priests and the legal experts and the elders approached him and said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you the authority to do these things?" Jesus said to them, "I'll ask you a question. You answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from people? Answer me." Well, they began discussing among themselves, "If we say from heaven, he'll say, 'Why didn't you put faith in him?' But if we say from people," they were afraid of the crowd, for everyone held John really had been a prophet. So they said to him, "We don't know." And Jesus said to them, "Then neither am I telling you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell them in riddles. And he said to them, "A man planted a vineyard, put a wall around it, dug out a pit for the wine vat, put up a watchtower, then leased it out to farmers and went away. And he sent a slave at the right time to get some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and flogged him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another one, and that one they struck in the head and dishonored. And another, that one they put to death. And many others, some they flogged and some they put to death. Still, he had one more, an only son. He sent him to them last, saying, 'They will have regard for my son.' But those farmers said to themselves, 'Look, this man's the heir. Let's put him to death, and the inheritance will be ours.' So they took him and put him to death and threw him outside the vineyard. And what will the Lord of the vineyard do? He'll come and destroy those farmers and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you ever read this passage? 'That stone which the builders rejected became the cornerstone.' This comes from the Lord, and it is amazing in our eyes." Now they began seeking to seize him, for they were afraid of the crowd. The whole crowd knew that the riddle had been told against them. So they left him and they went off, and they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to catch him up in his words. They approached him and said, "Teacher, we know how truthful you really are, for you don't defer to anybody, for you don't look to the reactions of people, but truthfully teach God's way. Is it legal to give a tribute payment to Caesar or not? Should we give or not give?" But he saw their hypocrisy and said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius so I might see it." They brought one. He said to them, "Whose image and whose inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." He said, "Then the things of Caesar give back to Caesar, and the things that belong to God give to God." And they were amazed by him. Then Sadducees approached, who say there is no resurrection. They came to him and said, "Teacher,
Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves behind a wife but doesn't leave behind a descendant, then the brother is to marry the wife and raise up a descendant for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and he died without leaving behind a descendant. The second married her and he died without leaving behind a descendant. The third did likewise. All seven died without leaving behind a descendant. Last of all, the wife died. Now, in the resurrection, when people rise, whose wife will she be? All seven had her as a wife. Jesus said to them, aren't you greatly misled because of this? You don't know either the writings or the power of God. For when people rise from the dead, they don't marry or are given for marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And as for the dead, that they rise. You haven't ever read the book from Moses, the passage about the bush, how God said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He isn't the God of dead people, but of living people. You are greatly misled. Well, a lawyer had approached, heard them arguing, saw how well Jesus was answering and asked him, teacher, what is the most important ordinance of all? Jesus said to him, the most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. You are to love the Lord your God with your whole mind and with your whole strength and with your whole intelligence and with your whole life. The second is this. You are to love the neighbor as yourself. And no other ordinance is greater than these. The lawyer said to him, how truthful you answer, teacher. He is one. And there is no other beside him. And that to love him from the whole mind and the whole strength and the whole understanding and to love the neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Seeing that he had answered wisely, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the rule of God. And nobody dared question him further. So while he was walking in the temple, he spoke up in his teaching and said, how do the legal experts say that the anointed one is David's son? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right while I put your enemies down under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And in his teaching he said to them, and look out for some of those lawyers, the ones who want to walk about in flowing robes and want formal greetings in the markets and the most important places in the synagogues and the best seats at the banquets. You know the ones who eat up the houses of widows and then for appearance offer long prayers. They will get the more severe condemnation. He sat down opposite the sacred treasury, and he was observing how people were putting money into the treasury. Many wealthy people were putting in large amounts. But one poor widow came and put in two little lepta, which make a quadrant. Jesus summoned his disciples and said to them, I swear to you, that poor widow put in more than everybody else. For they put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her need, put in everything she had, her whole living. And as he was coming out from the temple, one of his disciples said to him, teacher, look. What stones! What buildings! And Jesus said to them, you see these great buildings? I swear to you that not a stone will be left upon a stone here which will not be pulled down. And while he was sitting on the Mountain of the Olives, facing the temple, Rock and James and John and Andrew were asking him about these things, saying to him, well, when will these things be? And why be when all these things are about to be brought to an end? And Jesus began to tell them, look out that nobody mislead you. For many will come on my name, saying I am, and mislead many people. Now when you hear wars and reports about wars, don't be alarmed. It's necessary for these things to happen, but it's not yet the end. Nation will rise against nation. Rule against rule. There'll be earthquakes in various places. There'll be famines. These are just the beginning of the birth pains. And you, look out for yourselves. You'll be handed over to Sanhedrins. You will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake as testimony to them. It's necessary for the good news to be proclaimed to all the Gentile nations first. And when they lead you away and hand you over, don't be anxious ahead what you're to say. Instead, say what's given to you in that hour. For you won't be the ones talking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will hand over brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise in rebellion against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by everybody because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved. Then, when you see the desolating sacrilege standing where it's necessary that it not stand, let the hearer understand. Then, those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Whoever's in the rooftop, come down without getting anything from the house. Whoever's in the fields, to go without turning back to get anything. How awful it will be for those who are pregnant or nursing a child in those days. Pray that it not happen in winter. For those oppression, those days will be an oppression the likes of which have not happened from the beginning of creation until now, and definitely won't happen again. If the Lord had not cut short the number of the days, nobody would be saved. But because of the chosen ones whom he chose, he cut short the days. Well, then if anybody says to you, look, here is the anointed one, look, there he is, don't put any faith in it. For false anointed ones and false prophets will rise and give signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the chosen ones. But you look out. I've told you everything ahead. Then, in those days, after that oppression, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then people will behold the Son of Humanity coming on clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels from the four winds to gather his chosen ones from the extremity of earth to the extremity of heaven. From the fig tree, learn the rhythm. You know when its shoots become tender and it's putting out leaves, summer's near. So also you, when you see these things, you know that he is near at the gates. And I swear to you, this generation will not pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But as for the day or the hour, nobody knows it. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father. So look out. Stay awake. For you don't know when the right time will be. It's like a man away on a trip. When he leaves his house, he gives authority to his slaves to each his work, and he tells the doorkeeper, keep watch. So also you, keep watch. For you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether it be evening or the middle of the night or the rooster crow, or early in the morning. Otherwise, he might come unexpectedly and find you sleeping. And what I'm saying to you, I'm saying to everybody, keep watch. Now, the festival of the Passover and the unleavened bread were 2 days away. And the high priests and the legal experts were seeking how to seize Jesus now by a deception and put him to death. For they were saying among themselves, not among the festival crowd, otherwise there'll be a disturbance of the populace. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. And while he was reclining to eat, a woman came who had an alabaster flask of very expensive pure nard ointment. She broke open the jar and began pouring the ointment on his head. Well, some of those standing by were angry in themselves, saying, "Why has this ointment been wasted? This ointment could have been sold for over 200 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they became indignant with her. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you giving her trouble? Leave her be. It's a good thing she did for me, for the poor you always have among you, and whenever you want, you're able to do good for them. But me, you won't always have." What she was able to do, she did. She anointed my body ahead for the burial. And I swear to you that wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she did will also be told as a remembrance of her. Then Judas, the one of the 12, went off to the high priest in order to hand Jesus over to him. When they found out, they were delighted and promised to give him silver. So he began looking for an opportunity how he might hand him over. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, his disciples approached him and said to him, "Where do you want us to go in order to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal?" And Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Enter into the city. Immediately as you're entering it, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Now where he enters, you say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my lodging where I am to eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He'll show you a large upstairs room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." They went off, entered the city, found things just as he told them, and prepared the Passover meal. And when it was evening, Jesus came with his disciples. And while he was reclining to eat, he said to them, "One of you will hand me over. One eating." And they began to be sad and to say to him one by one, "Not I, surely." He said, "One of the 12. One dipping bread into the bowl with them. The Son of Humanity goes just as it is written about him. But how awful for that man by whom the Son of Humanity is handed over. Better for that man if he had not been born." And while they were eating, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take it. This is my body." And he took a cup, offered thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This cup is my blood of the covenant, which is about to be poured out for many. I swear to you, I won't drink again of the produce of the vine until that day I drink it new in the Lord God." And after singing a psalm, they went out to the Mountain of the Olives, where Jesus said to his disciples, "Every one of you will stumble, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' However, after I'm raised, I'll go ahead of you to Galilee." Rock spoke up and said, "Even though everyone else stumbles, at least I won't." Jesus said to him, "I swear to you that today, this night, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will renounce me three times." But he kept saying wildly, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll definitely not renounce you." And everybody else was saying the same. They came to a spot, Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took along Rock and James and John, and he began to be alarmed and anguished. And he said to them, "My life is profoundly sad to death. stay here and keep a watch. And he went ahead a little further, and he fell to the ground, and he began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he said, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. He came back, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Rock, Simon, are you sleeping? Aren't you able to keep watch a single hour? Watch and pray, all of you, that you don't come to a testing, for the spirit is eager, but the flesh weak. He went off again, prayed again, saying the same words, and he came back and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer. He came a third time and said, are you going to keep on resting and sleep through? It's over. The Son of Humanity is about to be handed to the hands of the sinners. Rise. Let's go. Look, the one handing me over has come near. And while he was still talking, Judas arrived, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs coming from the high priests and the legal experts and the elders. Now the one handing him over had given them a signal saying, the one I kiss, that's him. Seize him and lead him away under security. He came up to him, immediately approached, and said to him, Rabbi, then kissed him dramatically. And they put hands on him and seized him. But one young man standing by drew his sword, struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off a little piece of his ear. Jesus said to them, did you come out with swords and clubs as against a bandit to capture me? Day after day I was among you teaching in the temple and you didn't seize me. However, so the writings might be fulfilled. And they all left him. But one young man followed along a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth behind and fled naked. Well, they brought Jesus to the headquarters of the high priest, and all the high priests and the legal experts and the elders assembled. And Rock followed from a distance, on inside, into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the soldiers, warming himself in the firelight. Now the high priest and the legal experts and the whole Sanhedrin were seeking testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death. But they weren't finding any. For many people were testifying falsely against him, but their testimony didn't agree. Then some stood up and said, we ourselves heard him say, I will pull down this temple made with hands, and in 3 days build another not made with hands. But even on this point, their testimony didn't agree. Then the high priest rose to the center and asked him, aren't you answering anything at all? What about all these charges they're bringing against you? But Jesus kept quiet. He didn't answer anything at all. But then the high priest asked him, you are the anointed one, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Humanity sitting on the right hand of the Powerful One, and coming on the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his vestments and said, what further need have we for witnesses? You yourselves heard the blasphemy. How does it appear to you? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. some of them began to spit on him and to cover his head and hit him and say, "Prophesy." Even the guards took to beating him. Meanwhile, Rock was down in the courtyard when one of the maids of the high priest came by, saw him warming himself by the fire, looked intently at him, and said, "You were with the Nazarene Jesus too." But he denied it, saying, "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." He went out to the courtyard entryway. A rooster crowed. Then after a little while, the maid of the high priest saw him again and began to say to those standing around, "This man is one of them." Again he was denying it. Then after a while, the soldiers who were standing by said to him, "Truthfully, you are one of them, for you're Galilean too." But he began to put himself under a curse and swear an oath, saying, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, for the second time, a rooster crowed. And Rock remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you'll renounce me three times." And he lurched out, sobbing. Immediately, early in the morning, the high priest, the legal experts, held a council with the elders, bound Jesus, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "You are the king of the Jews." Jesus said, "You are saying it." Now the high priests and the lawyers were bringing many charges against Jesus, so Pilate asked him again, "Are you not answering anything at all? Look how many charges they're bringing against you." But Jesus kept quiet and didn't answer anything at all, with the result that Pilate was amazed. Now at feasts, it was his custom to release for them one prisoner whom they requested, and the one called Barabbas was bound in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. So the crowd came up and began to ask of Jesus to do for them as he customarily did. Pilate asked them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the high priest had handed him over out of envy. But the high priest had stirred up the crowd to ask him instead to release Barabbas to them. Pilate asked him again, "What should I do with the one you yourselves call king of the Jews?" And they screamed back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked again, "Why? What crime has he committed?" And they screamed all the louder, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to do the satisfactory thing for the crowd, released Barabbas to them, flogged Jesus, and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers took him to a courtyard, which is a praetorium, and they called together the whole cohort. And they took his clothes off him, and they put a purple cloak on him, weaving a crown from thorn branches, they set it on his head, and they began greeting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were spitting on him, hitting him over the head with a reed staff. Getting down on their knees, they were doing obeisance. And when they had finished mocking him, they took the purple cloak off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. They even had to draft somebody coming from the countryside, a certain Simon the Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to take up his cross. And they brought Jesus to the place Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They tried giving him wine drugged with myrrh, but he would not take it. And they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him was inscribed, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. And those who were passing by were blaspheming him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ha! the one who's about to pull down the temple and build one in 3 days. Get down off the cross and save yourself.
Even the high priest with the legal experts were mocking him to each other, saying, others he restored, himself he can't save. Let the anointed one, the King of Israel, get down now off the cross so we might see and have faith. Even those being crucified with him were ridiculing him. About noon, a darkness came over the whole land until 3. And at 3, Jesus cried out in a loud cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why did you abandon me? Some of those standing by heard it and said, look, he's calling Elijah. And someone ran, filled a sponge with cheap wine, put it on a reed Paul was offering him a drink, saying, let him be. Let's see if Elijah comes to bring him down. But Jesus let out a loud shout. And died. And the curtain of the sanctuary was ripped in two from top to bottom. And the centurion who had been standing in front of him when he saw how he died said, truthfully, this man was Son of God. And there were women observing from a distance, Mary the Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Lesser and Salome, who had been serving him and following him when he was in Galilee, along with many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. By now the hour was late, and since it was a preparation day, that is, a day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was himself expecting the rule of God, came, took courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he had already died and summoned the centurion to find out if he had been dead long. And when he found out from the centurion, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Joseph came, bought some linen cloth, brought him down and wrapped him in the linen cloth and put him in a grave hewn from rock. And he rolled a stone up against the door of the grave. Mary the Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Lesser and Salome observed where he was put. As soon as the Sabbath passed, Mary the Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome went and bought aromatic oil so they might go and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day after the Sabbath, they were going toward the grave just as the sun came up when they were discussing among themselves, who will roll the stone away from the door of the grave for us? And looking up, they saw that it was rolled away, for it was very large. And they entered in. And they saw a young man sitting on the right, a white robe thrown around him, and they were alarmed. And the young man said to them, don't be alarmed. You're seeking Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He was raised. He's not here. Look, the place where they put him. But go, tell his disciples, even Rock, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will behold him just as he told you. But they went out and fled from the grave. For they were trembling and stunned. And they said anybody at all, for they